Garbage in, landfill.
You know what they say, mining in, mining out, Jerry.
Where's the other compensation study at? Where is it in process for everybody else?
Funny you should ask. I was going to give it an update during staff comments, but
we should probably do it.
Yeah, let's do it then.
Okay.
Christina, do you want to take the lead in introducing our guest and describing?
Yeah, so this is for item 11, and this is our first kind of peek at our future costs of other post-employment benefits. So now that we are a separate employer from the county, these are things that we're going to be looking at, and this is the first step of it. We will be doing a full OPEB review in the next couple months, so that's why I mentioned that this is more of like a sneak peek. And we have John Botsford from Milliman, who's the one that conducted this study, and he's available to answer any questions that you have on the study. I'm going to channel Karen Levy a little bit here, because there is something on page 4 that we would like to ask John to acknowledge that this is a public meeting and that the report is available for public distribution. So he acknowledges that.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. To follow up on that, California Code 7507 states that whenever a public agency considers, contemplates a benefit change for its retirees, a report must be prepared by an actuary of that analysis of the, you know, the change kind of before and after, that the report be made public, and that an actuary be present to answer any questions. So while the purpose of the board is to present analysis, or the report is to present an analysis of the change to you, the board, we of course do authorize the report to be made public in compliance with Section 7507. So the purpose of this report is we wanted to measure or estimate the impact of SACERA, and this covers the staff employees only. There's about 50 staff employees, not your SACERA members, so just to be clear. But currently, SACERA, for its staff employees, contracts with the county for health benefits for its active employees as well as for its future retirees. You became an entity effective 1/1/15, your own separate entity. The analysis is to look at what would happen if you moved from contracting with the county for health benefits for your retirees to contracting with CalPERS for health benefits for your retirees. Active costs are not estimated in this report, by the way, for your active employees. It's for once the active employees become retirees. And so that's the cost that we look at in this report. The current plan, as I mentioned, it's the county health plan, and there's a subsidy that you, that the SACERA would pay toward a monthly premium for its retirees. That subsidy would be available for employees that are hired either before 1/1/2009 or before 2010, depending on whether they're unrepresented employees or representatives of AFSCME. If you're hired after those dates, then there's no direct subsidy that SACERA would have toward those health benefits. So that's the current plan, the contract with the county for the health plan. Under the proposed plan option, you would contract with CalPERS, a health plan. CalPERS has a requirement that even though you've there's an exclusion of subsidy for retirees, for those who are hired past 1/1/09 or 1/1/10, CalPERS does state that you have to give a minimum of at least $125 a month subsidy toward the cost of retiree health benefits for even if they're hired after 1/1/09 or 10. So it doesn't mean that the retirees would actually elect to take the benefits, because the actual costs are considerably higher. But if they do elect to coverage as a retiree in the CalPERS health plan, that you would be required in 2016 to provide a minimum subsidy of $125 a month that does escalate with inflation. So, but the inflation is based on medical CPI, which runs typically significantly lower than your traditional medical inflation that measures premium increases.
What's in the medical CPI? Because it sounds like it should be running about 20% a year.
Right, and it's not. If you look, the medical CPI is published by the Department of the Bureau of Labor Statistics each month. And over the last 10 or 12 years, it's been averaging under 5%. And in fact, over the last 5 years, it's been averaging under 4%. Every single year.
So I'm just trying to. I'm wondering what's in. I don't understand.
Right. It's a government measure, and it's medical CPI. So it's covering the entire costs of medical and definitely premiums, employer plan premiums.
Those are not in the basket.
Right? Way higher. And for whatever reason, it's not in the basket. So it's overall healthcare expenditures, but the medical CPI, as measured by that statistic. That's what CalPERS uses to peg that $125 a month minimum, you know, that's indexed to that amount. So that's why if you look at that over the last 10 or 12 years, you see that you're not getting 7 or 8 or 9% that you would otherwise expect. But I can't explain what, you know, why, what's in there that's causing that to be pulled down the way it is compared to what we would expect. So it's running higher than general inflation, but considerably much lower than what we would call our traditional medical inflation of looking at the cost of health plans, you know, health plan premiums.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. So when in analyzing the proposed plan, we not only are we looking at what the premiums are for, you know, 2016, so we're looking at, you know, the change would be effective 1/1/16. So we know what the premiums and the subsidies are, the employer subsidies are for the Contra Costa health plans that you currently, you know, contract with. And we assumed that the increases in future years, 2017 and beyond, that half the premium increases, the actual premium increases, would be split 50-50. So half of those increases would be paid by Sacera, and half the premium increases would be the responsibility of the retiree. So that's how we projected the costs of the Contra Costa health plan into the future. And that's our understanding after discussing with Sacera staff that was what their understanding of how the plan cost would increase into the future under the current scenario. And then under CalPERS, we made two scenarios because it's as you're contemplating this, it isn't hasn't been set yet as to we know what the 2016 costs are going to be. And that's based on a maximum amount of the that's defined as the Kaiser basic Bay Area rate. And again, this is for the group that was hired prior to 2009 and 10, so it's a closed group. But the cost that would be provided to them, the subsidy, would be limited to the Kaiser basic rate. So for a single person in 2016, I believe that's about $750 a month or so. It's stated in the appendix. And so we ran it in two scenarios. One is that that rate would not, that maximum that Sacera would cover for its retirees would not change in the future. Even though the actual cost of PERS would go up, that amount, your subsidy that you would pay, would be fixed. So that's what we call scenario two. And scenario three is we would, because we remember on the scenario one with the basic county plan subsidy, we're assuming a 50-50 split in the premium increases. We wanted to show what would happen if there was future increases to the costs. And so what we assumed was for 2016 to 18, the Bay Area, Kaiser Bay Area rate that's in effect in 2016, that the subsidy that Sacera would pay would be frozen for those 3 years, and then it would increase with medical inflation thereafter for beyond 2018. So, and again, this hasn't yet been defined, as far as my understanding is, as to how those increases would take, you know, would occur in the future. again, you just became an entity effective 1/1/15, so we don't have the benefit of looking back into the past and saying, well, here's what your pattern of increases has been. It's what we would typically do. We don't have that. We don't, and you know, the CSERA could decide, you know, we're going to leave it at the 2016 cap for the foreseeable future. They could decide to raise it with full medical inflation in the future, or something in between, or some sort of ad hoc changes. So we wanted to show two scenarios to be able to capture, you know, a range of what those costs might be. And then we showed the change between the county plan and the two options of no increases versus assuming future increases. And under the scenario two, you would have, we would expect a decrease in your actual accrued liability of about $1 million. And again, because you're freezing those subsidies. But under scenario three, we would expect an increase of about $2 million because of, again, because we're assuming full medical inflation increases there after 2018. Now, briefly, let me define what these terms are. And I'm on page two of my report. The present value of projected benefits is simply and it's just your current employee group. It's not future employees, but your current employee group. We estimate what the cost of the subsidies would be into the future under each of the scenarios, and we applied medical inflation, if that's what the assumption is, and for their life expectancies. And we take into account employee termination and retirement, and we come up with a stream of projected benefit payments. We discount those benefit payments back to 2016, and that's called the present value of projected benefits. Question.
How did you come up with the 3.5%? Why did you pick that number to discount at?
Right, good question. So CSERA has currently not decided whether or not to fund these, you know, pre-fund these liabilities the way your, you know, the pension fund has a trust set up. There's currently no trust set up, so it'll be the board's decision as to whether they pre-fund this amount and how much they would pre-fund it, and then what the underlying investments are. So once those decisions are made, we would revisit the discount rate. But under GASB accounting standards, for an unfunded plan, the expectation is to use a risk-free or unfunded interest rate, and that's what the 3.5% represents.
But doesn't that seem high to use as a discount rate if it's supposed to be projecting cost increases? In other words, is that discount rate supposed to reflect what COLA increases would be?
No, it's not expected. It's not medical trend. Medical trend is stated back in.
I wasn't asking about medical trend. I'm just talking about in general. Is that supposed to be reflective of CPI generally?
It's supposed to be reflective of the expected return of operational funds that would be used to pay benefits. So you're going to be paying benefits out of operating assets. Now, currently, you're running at 0.5% maybe, if that, on cash. But longer term, and we've been in a very, very low controlled interest rate environment for about 5 years now. But if the Fed decides to begin raising those shorter term interest rates, then the expected returns on those, those money market funds or whatever it is that it's being invested in, are expected to move upward. If you think back into the 1980s and 90s, of course, the percent returns on cash was much higher, but right now it's been very low. So we're looking out, 50 years into the future and coming up with a 3.5%, which is basically assuming to be long-term that it would be a little bit higher than inflation.
And Scott, I actually brought it up because I think the rate's too low. If we had a trust, which we talked about in closed session, now I'll say in open session, I'm all for getting a trust and paying our full ARC. I would expect a higher rate of return, not necessarily what we use for our pension, but, something closer to a 6 or something in that area. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure. I actually thought it was low, but I see because we don't have a trust now, you're using a default number, and that's fine.
Yeah, and I'll also add that, you know, you're all familiar with GASB 67 and 68 and what that's done and those changes on the pension side. Well, GASB 74 and 75 are analogous standards that were just passed in June that will be effective in a couple of years for your OPEB benefits. And with that, this 3.5% is going to go away anyways. The rate for an unfunded OPEB plan, just as the rate for an unfunded pension plan would be, is tied to the 20-year muni bond index. And those 20-year bond indexes are, as of right now, they're just maybe just above 3.5%. There's a few indexes out there, but they're as little as a year ago, they were running at about 4.3%, 4.4% as of June 2014, come down a bit, but they're still a little bit above 3.5%. So because of that, and when you start thinking of that, I think that's a reasonable number for what we, you know, as a starting point, and it does take into account that as well.
Okay, no, that's a very thoughtful answer. I didn't know if it was just the standard discount rate, because our actuary has talked about us moving to 3% as a sort of a sneak preview of the next annual report. So.
Right.
I'm glad you asked that and clarified. That's helpful.
You mean inflation?
Yeah, inflation. What did I say?
It's kind of the reverse.
Did I say discount?
We're of a full house, by the way.
Yeah.
Get your name in the paper again.
Sorry.
Yeah, I've got a question, and I probably missed something somewhere. It's probably an easy answer to this, but I look at scenario one and scenario two, and I look at the arc.
Right.
Between the two, and it's going down from our current Contra Costa County plan to move to the CalPERS plan. Now, my understanding is that under our current situation, there is a group of at least a few employees hired in the last couple of years that are not eligible for post-retirement health benefits. And under the scenario two, the CalPERS plan, those people would become eligible for that minimum benefit.
That's right.
So I'm having a hard time understanding how come our, and in addition to that, our cost under the Contra Costa County plan of the benefit is lower currently than what it will be under the CalPERS plan. So I'm trying to figure out how did we go from a $798,000 arc under Contra Costa's current plan to a reduction of $156,000 under the CalPERS plan when we would have to cover more people.
Right. And the reason is because under scenario one, we're assuming that your 2016 subsidy would escalate 50-50 split between, so as the premiums increases, you wouldn't absorb the entire premium increase, but you would absorb half of the premium increases each year. And so in 2017, 18, and 19, under scenario one, your subsidy will continue to grow significantly, whereas under scenario two, that subsidy would not grow at all. It would stay flat, and it would not. So even though you're adding $125 a month cost for, and we assume 50% of the retirees that would eventually make it to retirement would actually elect coverage, because many of them, because the subsidy is fairly low, would opt not to elect that coverage. They'd elect to go by, you know, coverage on the individual market or individual Medicare coverage, which can be a lot cheaper than the full cost of Medicare. So we assume about 50%. But because of those, of that there's no increase to the cap under scenario two, that's why the cost is lower. But if that cap moves up, then you would see that the cost would actually be higher. And it depends on how those increases are defined, honestly. It really is going to depend on how those, you know, whether it becomes a 50-50 cost sharing, or whether it's a full increase, and or whether it's done on an ad hoc basis. That's what's really going to drive these long-term liabilities.
So then would I be correct in saying under our current scenario, those people are actually going to lose benefit moving to the, some people would lose some benefit moving to the CalPERS scenario number two, and of course the ones who have no benefit would gain some benefit?
The people who have no benefit would gain some benefit in the sense that with $125 a month, the people that move from scenario one to two, there's a potential that they could lose some benefit, but really you would have to go year by year. And remember, this cap, it's $750 a month about. That applies for the Medicare costs as well. The Medicare premiums under CalPERS are all currently well below the $700. They are at around $350, $400 a month. So even with medical inflation, it'll be a number of years before the Medicare, you know, post 65 coverage, before they would have to pay anything. So it may be a situation, and in fact, it most likely will be, that depending on the individual, depending on their current age, when they retire, there may be some years that under scenario one, they would do better under scenario one under some years, and better under scenario two under other years, and it may flip in the middle of their, you know, of their retirement. And so to say, well, it's losing benefits, it may end up really depend on, again, their life expectancy, their age, and a number of other factors. But in terms of the overall costs, yes, just comparing these two, because one has a component where there's increases that will eventually, you know, under scenario one will grow beyond what's, you know, where scenario two is fixed. That's why there's a lower cost long term on a present value basis.
Okay, so then if you move to scenario three, mm-hmm. how likely is it that we would be able to retain a cap on the increase of benefit? Well, actually, we're going to be subject to CalPERS' cap. Is that what we're looking at? So it's not very, in my own opinion, it's not very likely that CalPERS is not going to escalate that cap each year, at least for some type of inflation.
Yeah, they've defined their cap as $125. That's their
right now.
And they could change it in the future. Mm-hmm. They could say that, you know, they could say it's $500. But they have it in a number of years. They have it at $125 now. For the last 8 or 9 years, they put that cap in place, or that floor in place, I think about 10 years ago. And for each of those years, it's held, and it goes up a few dollars a month. It was $122 before, and then $119, $115. So it's gone up only a few dollars a month over the last 5 years, certainly. And so in the foreseeable future, since they have defined medical CPI as their index on that cap, unless they change that, that's our best guess at this point. But we haven't contemplated what would happen if CalPERS made a change to that $125. Yes?
So am I correct that the $125 is assumed to increase with medical CPI in both scenarios two and three?
Right.
The difference in scenarios two and three are on the pre-1109 and 1110 people.
That's correct.
How their count is increasing.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I wanted to follow on to Christina's comment about in the next few months we are going to be conducting an OPEB valuation. And some of the assumptions might change that we're using in here. Like right now we have some PEPR members that tend to retire a little later than the legacy members. That wasn't taken into account when these assumptions were established, as well as some other more kind of technicalities. But that's going to get flushed out when we do the OPEB valuation. So I would anticipate that there will be some changes in these numbers. But this just gives us a good idea of where we're at right now.
I might just throw out one other point in our current scenario where we have a group of that we have a certain date at which we are no longer offering retiree medical. This cost, theoretically, over time as employees retire and begin drawing their retirement benefits, but new employees replace them after that certain date and they're no longer eligible, we would expect for this arc to actually go down over time and eventually go away. Whereas in this move to the CalPERS plan, we are now going to have this cost go on in perpetuity.
But in time, we'll know what the actual demographic, you know.
Sure,
you know,
get refined.
Exactly, because,
you know, it's an added cost that will go up, actually.
Yeah, and it'll be a long time before we get that information to come in, and we know how many people are going to take us up on the offer.
But, Emily, we've kind of put you in a difficult situation in that our current agreement with the union and healthcare is only for a one-year period. And what happens after that, we don't really know. It's a subject to negotiation. But we've made the change from scenario one to scenario, well, basically scenario two at this mm-hmm. point for 1 year. Mm-hmm. What happens after that, we don't know. So really, comparing scenario one is just showing us where we have been.
Where you were.
And two is where we are. And then three may be where we go to. But it is. I mean, you're just guessing as what negotiations may result in. And as far as the increase in the medical CPI and CalPERS minimum and all of that, it's kind of up in the air right now. So.
Right. And we just felt strongly that it would be very helpful to show a range. Kind of a bottom and top end range as to how, and it could even be obviously be beyond those two ranges, but a pretty reasonable range. So this is, under two choices, no increase at all, and full medical inflation increase, and maybe it's somewhere in between. Yeah, it could be outside those boundaries, yeah. But likely it'll be within those boundaries somewhere, and that's really where your costs are going to be. And ultimately, yeah, it could be. The change could be higher or lower depending on how that gets defined in the future.
Just a general comment for myself as a board member, it would have been helpful to have had this information when we were considering the changes that we've decided upon in the past.
Or in negotiations, you mean, before that was offered?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any additional questions for our guest?
No, other than not for our guest, but I just want to make sure that we had the direction, I think, is very clear looking into the refunding of this.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Can we have you accept the report?
Okay.
I'll second.
Seconds. All right. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's accepted. I do want to point out that John had excellent early training. He was part of my early practice.
And yet he's moved beyond that.
He's moved his
He's added to it. Added to it. Oh, most of those humble beginnings.
Somehow made it past
you. You look like a young Jim Rustard. I'm sure you get that a lot, right?
I have done that before.
Oh,
yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. That's right.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we'll never forget him.